There's a sign out there with an arrow on it saying go around to the front.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see if someone else joins.
Apparently it's effective. Okay, well, let's get started. Begin with the roll call and introductions for our August HPC meeting. And let's begin on our far left with the newest member of the commission.
And you want my name and what else?
Just your name for now, and then we'll circle back.
My name for now is Mark Pelletier. That may change, who knows. And it is a privilege to be here, be a part of this. I've got a lifelong passion with local history, and I've spent the last 40 years kind of researching Clark County. So it had been a dream to be involved with some of the recognition of the historic value of this community, and I'm happy to be here.
My name is Alex Gall.
Sarah Fox.
Robert Hines.
And Rock Manley.
All right, and after the introductions, I was actually going to send it back to you, Mark, and give you just a couple of minutes to, you know, introduce yourself. And so if you got anything you'd like to add, feel free.
Well, the thing that stood out to me as I went through the interview process for this position was how accomplished all of you are. Each of you brings something really outstanding to this commission. And I don't have your professional credentials. I haven't worked in some of your professional fields. But as I indicated, my thing is all about my personal love for local history and for Clark County. I've lived here for 40 years. So that's the piece that stood out, is I wondered if the county council was making a mistake in considering me. Because you guys you bring some pretty high-powered skills to this position, and I just bring passion. And I hope that that's of some value as we consider things in the future.
Mm-hmm. But you also have some significant local government experience.
Well, I do. It goes back to when I served on the Mosquito Control District for Vernon VC many, many years ago. And that was a lot of fun. But I went on and served on the Battleground School Board for 7 years and ran for the state representative position in the 17th District. Didn't quite get that one. Done a number of other political things. I serve on the Planning Commission for Battleground. So in addition to that, my professional background is as a social work administrator. I was the executive director of Youth Outreach, which was the largest residential treatment program for court-referred kids in the state of Washington. We have 165 kids and 165 beds, generally kids were in each one of them, and 19 facilities around the state. So that and the school board work that I did, I got a lot of exposure to commissions and groups like ours. So I hope that will be of some value.
I'm sure it will. Okay. I'm sure that will serve you well.
I also taught for the Washington State Criminal Justice Training Commission for 15 years. So I taught a lot of police officers and correctional workers, and did a lot of the training in correctional facilities all over the state of Washington. So enjoyed that a lot. So I've been around government quite a bit, and I don't think that'll throw me off at all.
No.
I'm sure that there are lots of rules that we have to go abide by, and I'm used to that. So I'll do my best.
Welcome. All right, let's move on to the approval of the minutes from the June 6, 2016 meeting.
Which was in 2017?
Yes. Just then. Oh, yes.
But the minutes do say 17, so
minutes.
We can approve the minutes, just not the agenda.
Just an agenda error.
I had a couple corrections to the minutes to make.
Sure.
Yeah. So one of them is the very last item, 8. The meeting was adjourned by me and seconded by me. So
I feel like I do that to you a lot.
You did it to me last time, too. So I'm just saying, I don't think I did both.
Okay. I'll double check it.
All right. So whichever, just, you know, procedurally with that fix. And then the other one was just wanted to make a stronger kind of conclusion statement under section 3 under our, the House of Providence review that we did. The very last bullet point, I was suggesting changing that to make it a little stronger since it was pretty much our summary recommendation. So I'm suggesting changing it to something along the lines of, after considerable discussion, the final recommendation from the HPC for the applicant, after considerable discussion, the final recommendation from the HPC was for the applicant to research creative opportunities for the laundry and boiler buildings, and most importantly, the smokestack. I could even add some more to that and say, and most importantly, not to demolish the smokestack, but something along those lines.
I guess along those same lines, you know, I thought the Habs Hair documentation was a request, or can we make a request or something? Because it's pretty passive to say it would be considered by the applicant.
Instead of, was requested.
Yeah. I mean, did...
Yeah.
That's no, strongly encouraged.
No. I mean, everybody was sort of nodding their heads, yes, and I think,
right.
You know,
yeah, no, that was definitely,
including, I think, Mike True. So, you know,
right, that was definitely recommended.
Emphatically requested.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are my two.
And then also on number 3, it says on the third line under my statement, limited demolition of all the buildings except for the restaurant. So I think, oh yeah, no, never mind, I'm sorry. I forgot that there was a restaurant. Didn't even think about that.
So good, that's good.
That's good, I'm sorry, yes.
Any other commentary on the minutes?
I make a motion that we approve the minutes from June 6th, 2017.
Second?
As amended.
As amended.
As amended.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. It's unanimous. Okay, let's jump into old business and updates. So, Jackie, we've got some updates on the grant award.
Yes, so good news. We were awarded the CLG grant for next year for the barn, a preservation plan for the barn. I had requested 20, and I received 17, so I think totally we can still do it. And we'll be matching that with some of the historical promotion funds that we're allowed to use for preservation projects. So the next step will be to get the grant agreements from the state and then begin the RFP process to hire a consultant to assist with that. For kind of newer people, we've been kind of diligently working on projects at the farm and been successful in going for these CLG grants that has helped, which we paid for the nomination to be prepared for the farm, as well as the interpretive trail plan that was done, and at the beginning, the documentation and the remote sensing work that was done for the cemetery. So it's all been building up and will hopefully continue to as we move forward with this preservation plan. So the hope is to, it's kind of a combination of a historic structures report through what the National Park Service has as one of their preservation briefs, as well as a cultural landscape plan, since that site has, important things going on both on just the landscape side and the building. So we're hoping to combine those efforts and put together something that assesses those buildings and gives the county some information and help in planning for what, how to repair them and what they can be used for and such, and bring in the public and the stakeholders and the people that WC, that you that work there, the county folks that work there, the neighbors, the neighbor association, and work together on that. So keep you all posted on that. If you have any questions, just let me know.
Great.
Sure. Thank going?
Yep.
Okay, so the next item we have on your agenda is the an update on the County Poor Farm Cemetery fence that we had discussed at the June meeting that Brian just referred to in the notes. I have a colleague, Pat Lee, here. Pat is in Public Works Parks Department and is helps manage the poor farm. And he's going to give you an update. There was a meeting, I think I probably explained to you that there was going to be a meeting of the Heritage Farm Board to decide on the style fence, and that was part of the discussion we had in June. So Pat's here to kind of give you an update on how that went and what was discussed and what will be the county will be moving forward to.
Thanks, Jackie. Just to sort of recap how we got here, I think last September we submitted a historic promotions grant through the process of the recommendation by the Historic Preservation Commission to the Board of County Councilors. That project was funded. The proposal was to relocate the chain link fence that dissects the cemetery and install a fence that fully encloses the cemetery for a couple of reasons. One, trying to prevent farm operations from disturbing the cemetery. In the past, at least one example I'm aware of is that the eastern one-third of the cemetery was planted in raspberries at one time. So we felt some sort of visual demarcation of the boundary was important to protect the integrity of the cemetery. And we also wanted to provide a distinction interpretive station for the cemetery pursuant to the interpretive trail plan. Kind of an enclosure makes it fairly prominent and serves interpretation needs well. So those are the two primary reasons we submitted. The board concurred with the Historic Preservation Commission recommendation, and the grant agreement was executed in November. Sort of the, I think, as background, the grant agreement states a few things that will probably be the topic of future discussion, but specifically, project expenditures funded by this grant shall be directly related to the Clark County Poor Farm Cemetery fence relocation. Specifically, expenditures are only to be made for the removal of the existing chain link fence that dissects the cemetery and installing a new split rail fence that fully encloses the cemetery with a 10-foot wide opening for maintenance access. Clark County Parks expenditures funded by this grant shall not exceed $15,250, and in no event shall the Clark County Poor Farm Cemetery relocation and project completion date extend past the end of calendar year 2007 unless explicitly approved by the Clark County Historic Preservation Program staff on behalf of the grantor. So those are the existing grant agreement terms that we are working on. Sort of the first step in getting this project going is we hired a surveying firm to actually stake the boundaries of the cemetery, which they did, and once that was completed in March of this year, we began to get inquiries from neighbors and others saying, what's going on with all this staking up in the farm? And so we needed to expand our communication with neighbors and other interested parties. So we convened a public meeting on May 4th. And from that meeting, those people were able to testify and offer their opinions about things. There's really two primary issues that emerged. One was where to relocate chain link security fence, the one that currently goes through the middle of the cemetery. And really the two options where we do it at the east cemetery boundary, or we do it at actually west cemetery where the park's boundary, the farm boundary is. And the other was what type of monumentation to use. Our original proposal in the grant agreement specifies split rail. That is still, what we prefer to go with because that's how we costed out the grant agreement and other things, and we at least have some sense what the maintenance costs would be. Other alternatives, we don't have that level of information. These two issues were taken up at a July 18th, 2017 special meeting of the Farm Advisory Board. We sent out a public notice, June 21st for that to 367 addresses around the farm. And again, this was a meeting at which testimony was taken, and the farm committee made two decisions. One, they decided to move the chain link security fence to the west boundary, so it would be along the property line primarily, with a proviso that we should work with neighbors to discuss what accommodation we could make in terms of gate access agreements, potential fence design with them that really abut that property line. And the second, the sort of the style of fence to enclose the cemetery, they really deferred that to the Historic Preservation Commission, saying it was this interpretation of appropriateness was more appropriate that, that this body make that decision rather than the Farm Advisory Committee. And as I understand the process, we need to do a formal review of appropriateness. I believe that is going to be scheduled for September 5th. Jackie gave me some forms to initiate that review, which I will try to get back to her in the next week or so. And that's kind of where we are at the moment. Again, we have these provisions of the grant agreement. We're open to comply with those provisions as written and move forward with the project.
So I have a quick question. Was the feedback from the HPC conveyed to the Farm Advisory Board in your meeting on 7/18? Because we had had some feedback on the appropriate design of the fence and so forth. I'm just wondering what the reaction was.
I'm not sure. I wasn't at the meeting, so I don't know if that...
I believe that in the Historic Preservation Commission meet on that...
June 6th.
So, yeah, kind of the discussion of the two primary issues came out of the May 4th meeting and then were taken to the sort of a informational, as I understand it, agenda item. And we did get some feedback on that. And I think we also received additional testimony both on the 18th and many of those testifying were, shall we say, more concerned about the security fence as opposed to the specific cemetery fence design. However, Jackie can probably fill in on some comments received from others on the cemetery design, because she's, you know, we've corresponded and she's let me know about some of the input she's received or some of the comments she's received.
Can you wait till public comment, please?
So, yeah, I mean, when I brought this before you in June, there was kind of two avenues or design choices that were being discussed. One was originally the split rail fence. As we began talking about the opportunity for removing the split rail or removing the chain and what would we do there, I had checked in with DAP, Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation, to ask them what they would suggest, and you know, they for me, you know, there probably was no fence there originally, as was just probably an open field area. But if you had to have something, Michael Hauser suggested just do something simple that's not very, that doesn't go in deep into the ground, and a split rail was his suggestion. So that's kind of how that idea was born, as to, okay, if he's saying that this is, you know, at least if that, if the fence is what we're going to do, this is what he thinks would be appropriate. That's kind of what we moved forward with. And then as more discussions happened with the neighborhood, there was more ideas about corner markers that would delineate the boundary. But there was also concerns that, because it's a kind of a large area, I think it's 300 by 150 feet, that, you know, you may not see the boulder way down there and impede on the cemetery unknowingly. So what are we going to do to make sure that it is a clear boundary? And then also have, because, you know, be careful about the excavation and the archaeological piece. So as Pat said, you know, the original application was for the split rail. that's kind of what they scoped out and funded for. So they're going to move forward with that proposal. We wanted to kind of keep you updated and see if there's any discussion that you would like to have tonight, kind of like in a work session kind of setting, on what has occurred and what's going forward. I know we had a lot of discussion last in June about fate not faking history, also making sure that there is a boundary that's specific. So this is kind of where we are.
So I missed the discussion in June, so I'm kind of catching up.
Sure.
Was there, for the specific discussion of the fence, was there any kind of era of significance that would be used to frame the discussion of, you know, what style of fence is appropriate or not appropriate, or is it just kind of...
That's what they're saying, is that the era was no fencing at all. Yeah. Sort of, yeah.
So that's the era we're focusing on, not like 20s or 40s or 60s.
Right, within the era of the burials, which I think was 1913 to 1940.
I think it might be 1943. I think there was a comment on the corner markers and like large rocks, large stones to help demark that boundary, because I mean the split rail fence really isn't a barrier because you can step over it.
Okay. I think it was more just you would see
more
it.
Visual. Yeah. So we're talking about visual barrier. The other question I have is, what kind of maintenance budget is there? Because there was concern about vegetation growing up, if it was corner markers, you know, vegetation growing up, obscuring the markers or obscuring the view between the markers. Is this something that could be augmented with the maintenance?
Yeah, we have maintenance staff that takes care of things, and certainly we could work to try and maintain a certain standard along the fence line.
Just a thought, I don't know. As I said, just trying to catch up.
I mean, I would think a split rail fence would have more maintenance than
rocks
yeah. on the corners. But is there, as far as the split rail fence goes, I know that DAP had mentioned using shallow footers instead of driving the posts into the ground as you normally would. Is that option being considered, or is it traditional pile
drive? I think we certainly try to work with whatever recommendations we are able to work with. I think one of the things that may be expected, and we've been trying to get an answer from DAP, whether it's not, is do we need an observer on site or whatever as any excavation goes on to try and, you know, make sure we're doing it as well as we can.
Mm-hmm.
If I would say as long as, you know, the fence is reasonably secure, we could probably look at shallower footers than, you know, really huge, deep footers. And that may be very appropriate under the circumstances.
And I think that's where the zigzag design came from DAP, was the makes it easier to do shallow footers with that design, I guess.
Does anyone else have any other questions, or
can you wait for a public comment, please? I'm on the advisory board, and I was here to talk about the cemetery fencing.
Okay.
With the group. So.
Sure.
Okay. So my name is Rob Freed. I'm an archaeologist, and I'm on the advisory board. And my interest started years ago with the Clark County Historic Preservation Commission and the buildings out there. So I'm the person on the advisory board that tries to lend some expertise and knowledge of historic preservation. And so some of our thinking was, the split rail isn't a period to that time. But it's something to be able to keep people, maybe vehicles out, people that might get onto the property with dirt bikes. I mean, there aren't many opportunities, but there are people that go up there with trucks and vehicles. So it's not foolproof, but our idea was to have something to delineate the cemetery and still allow people walking access in there. There is a monument in the middle of the cemetery, and there will be some interpretive signs. So I've thought about this, and I was reading the discussion from the last meeting, and sure, I don't think we're trying to create a false sense of history, but I think some kind of fence needs to be done to keep vehicles from going in there and leaving access for driving lawnmowers and equipment to get the mowing done. As far as digging down into the soil, I think my understanding was that there was an inventory done on the property. I don't remember if subsurface testing was done up there, but my guess is with it being burials, I would imagine they're 5-6 feet below the ground. So I can understand.
Except that the poor farm, I think it was kind of notorious for
shallower.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand DAP's requirements, and but I'm just I'm thinking that it's unlikely if there's some augering done and minimal disturbance to removing the fence that it may be okay. And if there's shallower footings, is a possibility too. I just want to let you know that we've had discussions about these things, and it's of concern to me. It's on my mind.
Sure.
And one of the important things too, I might add to what Patrick was saying about moving the boundary, the cyclone fence, the chain link fence on the boundaries. There is a road in the southwest corner that isn't really doesn't prevent people from coming up there. And the fence will be moved to incorporate the road within the property boundary, and that was one of the road accesses historically to the cemetery. So that would be enclosed by the fence also to keep, maybe reduce the public access to the area.
Okay. Thank you for the update on the opinion of the board. Do you have any more questions on this topic? And then, Lisa, we'll come back to you in public comments. Is that okay? Circle back.
Will it be before you vote? They're not.
Well, this isn't a public hearing. We're not voting.
Oh, I know that. But as I understood from the Farm Advisory meeting when I attended, that the decision today on the split rail fence versus the four corners, as had happened, and because I attend all of the Farm Advisory, all of your meetings, and the others, I would like to provide some information when it's appropriate.
That'll be next month, right?
Yeah, the hearing. Not the cyclone fence.
No, the hearing for the cemetery fence will be September 5th.
Yes, I understand.
Yes, so that's when we'll have public testimony before and they take a formal vote.
My understanding of the process is at the Farm Advisory Committee, we're trying to get this on the agenda as soon as possible. However, what I did not know that there was a 30-day noticing requirement for the Historic Preservation Commission for public hearing, correct? Mm-hmm. So that's why we're going to have to defer that discussion until September.
And it is my understanding, we aren't deciding what kind of fence. They make a proposal and we approve or disapprove it, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is our opportunity to give feedback on what we might approve or not approve.
What you will see next month, right?
And, to that end, I think that a couple of things, whatever plan that goes forward does need to have some kind of plan in place to deal with archaeological implications, because just because it's shallow doesn't mean there's nothing there, and even if it's not a body, there could be something there. So just whatever the plan is, I think there needs to be a plan in place for dealing with that reality. And then, I think an approach that shows there are practical concerns that you've laid out, that even though there may have never been a fence, there might need to be a fence now, and that's simply the way that it is. So if that is the reality, that everything has really been considered on how to mitigate the impact of that fence and to also minimize the opportunity of giving us a false sense of history, because I know that's not the intent, and split rail has been used in a lot of different eras and fairly continuously, but the reality is you put a split rail fence on a historic site and people are going to think it's at least a recreation of a historic fence. So if there's a way to mitigate that false impression that you certainly didn't intend, I think that would be an important aspect to have in the plan. And then just the consideration of the alternatives and why they were dismissed. If corner markers don't work, well, we'd be interested in knowing that. If if a vegetative boundary doesn't work, I think that would help bolster the decision to go with whatever direction that you're actually proposing, and it would be more likely to be approved. So that's just my feedback as you go through the process of putting the application together for us to consider.
And I know we try to a lot, it's hard to schedule everyone, but I think it would be really beneficial for us to do a site visit up there. We can try to all coordinate our calendars. So I'll try to start early so that we can try to get that scheduled and see what time, days, and things work best for the majority.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
One more update.
Two more updates.
Sorry.
Sometimes the short agenda is not so short.
Yeah.
I'm going to hand this over to Sharon to kind of kick it off, and then I think Alex, if he wants to chime in too.
Yeah. Sharon, did you bring copies of the MOA?
I just brought one copy.
Okay, I brought five copies. Okay. So.
Okay.
So National Historic Preservation Act has a section 106 that requires that federal agencies take into account the effects of development on historic properties and afford the Advisory Council on Historic Preservation a reasonable opportunity to comment. And so this development, Cedar Village Barn, the battleground, came to our attention, and Alex has been part of these calls. There was a historic barn on that property that was eligible to be on the National Register, but it was, I understand, too far gone to be rehabilitated. There was unavoidable demolition of the barn that was beyond repair, and the property owner started dismantling it. So it was agreed by all parties that salvage and donation of materials for use in the restoration and preservation of other historic barns in Washington was the best approach. And a gazebo will be constructed using some of the salvage materials with a historic plaque and interpretive panel. Can I add anything?
No, we're this barn was constructed around 1913, Dutch style barn, but it's also had a lot of updates through the 20th century, and that sort of played into its significance as well, just because these updates were very typical of barns we see throughout Clark County, and so the Washington Trust for Historic Barns is sort of spearheading the salvage effort. So this MOA that you see before you is draft number 5. It's coming together. They say at least a year to put together an MOA, and what this has been, I don't know, 3 months or 2 months. It's been incredibly quick. So this is pretty much the final version. I don't know if you guys want me to walk you through it. It's a lot of whereases and stipulations, but it's the stipulations. There are 3 main points: the salvage, the outreach, and the avoidance of a very small archaeological site that was found also on the property but is within a wetland area that's going to be avoided anyway. So but that was thrown in as far as mitigation for the barn and the impacts to the barn. And the barn was in fairly good condition when we first surveyed it, and as Sharon mentioned, the new property owner, there was some wind damage over the winter, and he started dismantling it and then was told stop. And so It's sort of a shell of its former self right now, but there's enough salvage materials that may be that other historic barn owners in the state may be interested in purchasing and rehabbing their barns. So, and that's where it stands. And I'm recusing myself from this as far as my role on the commission. We, as I understand, are not signatories to this, just merely an interested party. So, you know, anything that we have to say regarding this MOA is, you know, we don't have anything to really hold over the progress of it, but it would certainly be taken into consideration if anybody has any additional ideas or wants to see any further mitigation taken. So.
So the community planning is the signatory, so my director would be the signing authority, and he's going to take whatever you all, if there's something you wanted to put in there, he would say that on your behalf. So that's kind of how it's not in previous.
Okay.
So cool. He's kind of signing on for you guys, so he will, you know, definitely receive that or changes forward.
Okay.
Like a good resolution, actually. You have the interpretive panel and the gazebo.
And we've documented the barn twice now, once at a reconnaissance level and once on an intensive level for the HPI. So we had an architectural historian go out the second time and do it pretty in depth. And thankfully, we got out there about a month before some of the demolition occurred. So,
what are comments due?
Well, we have our next call next Tuesday. We're having calls every other week on Tuesdays, and I think the goal is to try to get this finalized by the end of this month. So, you know, by the end of August. So, I think if we can get any comments in, you know, in the next 2 weeks, that would be great.
I think they're trying to get it signed, though, right? By the end of this month.
You think they are trying to get it signed? Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to kind of review it in the next couple of days, and if there's any comments that you would like to add to the discussion that Sharon will forward on to the consulting group, send them our way.
Yeah, and send everything to Sharon from HPC.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, now we're down to our last old business update.
So the historic promotion grant application period is open. I think it's September 15th or something is the deadline. So soon after that, I'll convene the subcommittee that will review the applications that provide a recommendation to the county council for approval. So I wanted to see if I could get some volunteers. I think last year we two?
Yeah, we did. We had two of us.
Anyone interested?
I think that last year it was Sarah and
Shell. Yeah.
I think Rock's done it before.
The year before.
So it's pretty much one afternoon, a couple hours. I send you the grants. A week or so ahead of time, and then we meet and rank. Yeah, the ranking's already part of the guidelines for what the grant's supposed to be looking for. So it takes us a couple hours to just kind of go through those. We usually have also Pat Gelada join as part of the subcommittee. She's been doing the review since it started, so she's kindly always willing to participate as well.
What's the timing for the actual review?
What do you mean?
When is that afternoon going to be?
It will probably be, I would say, beginning of October.
Okay.
And it'll be, we can work, whoever the committee is, I'll work with everyone to figure out what the best time is. I can be flexible, so it depends on whatever, you know, your schedule works with. But we'll meet up down at, you know, Public Service Center.
I'd be interested in doing it.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I think I would as well.
Great, awesome.
Sarah Rock, did two people work well, or would it be beneficial to maybe have another volunteer involved? I'm just curious.
I think it works good with two. I mean, I've actually enjoyed it, so it's a good experience to go through. And
I'm trying to recall if there anyone else would be doing it that year.
Yeah.
It was me.
I've
done it 2 years in a row.
Okay.
So I'm saying,
yeah.
And then we had Pat, I think, both.
Mm-hmm.
Josh,
yeah. Well, I was going to say that I'm on a learning curve, so you could decide whether or not this is a good thing for me to do.
You're welcome.
Or not.
No, you're welcome to do it.
You're welcome to.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to learn as much as possible, but I don't want to learn at the expense of the process.
No.
Okay. It's just common sense, and Pat Gelada is a lot of fun.
Yes.
Pat's my buddy.
Yes.
All right. Well, I will coordinate with you three then,
okay.
And Pat, and I'll get back to you closer once the application period ends and the grants are in, and
so,
we see how many we have.
So the 2018 subcommittee will be Mark, Sean, and Alex.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Wonderful.
Can I do one really quick additional update that's not on the agenda?
Yep.
Last in June, we talked about the plaque, the National Register plaques that you know, we used funding for to promote these buildings in our county are on the National Register. So Sharon and Sean have worked on some criteria that we had talked about at the last meeting to help rank priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting closer, and we're now contacting and trying to research and make sure who already has plaques or not. So we're getting really close, so we're going to send that out for you for the next meeting, and hopefully you might be able to make some decisions in September on which plaques you may want to purchase for the year.
Cool. Nice. Okay.
Okay. So thank you to Sean and Sharon for working on that. Okay. Now I'm done for all business.
They're out for a whole of
two or three columns.
Well, let's talk about new business.
Okay. Open Public Meetings Act training. You have a new member, so is it annually, or what's their requirement?
Well, for a new member.
For sure.
Yeah, and then it's every 4 years. I'll have to go back and look.
Okay.
It's been assigned to a new staff person who's totally on it. So,
okay.
So every time someone takes the training that's on one of my committees, she sends me a note.
Okay, so we'll double check who. I don't know if it's been that long, but for sure Mark will take it. So we'll send you the link, and it's some kind of YouTube videos that you
reviewed. Yeah, I just did it last year.
You just did it last year. Okay.
For Battleground.
Okay, so you could probably just do the authorization.
You can just shop and go to the bottom and certify.
Yeah,
that
you've done it, and it'll go right to. We have one too, so yeah, we'll do either way. So I just want to bring that up as a continuing thing that we do, especially when we have new members. So. Any questions on that?
No, I think we should be covered. And then would camp training count for that as well?
They did do an OPMA at the camp training.
Because I remember when I did the camp training in Philadelphia, that was part of it as well. They spent some time on it. So.
Is it an annual thing? They have to do every year?
No,
I think the law requires it every 4 years. I'll have to...
Yeah, we'll double check.
It's on the AG's office website.
Can you explain to me what camp meeting means?
Oh, who remembers
camp
the acronym? Okay, never mind the acronym.
National Training for Historic Preservation Commission staff. And they had one in Tacoma this last year. And that a bunch of
and it had an open meetings component to it.
It did, yes.
So does that count?
That should count.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
The clock.
Well, does that know that I did the YouTube version?
Any other questions on that? Okay. Next item, City Council workshop scheduling.
So we went to the camp training, and we filled out that little postcard about something that we were going to remember to do from the training, and I got mine in the mail. It was to remind me that we probably should get in front of the various city councils and county council occasionally to remind them that we exist and what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if people are amenable to that, we can certainly schedule the Vancouver and the Clark County Council. We should probably talk about, you know, get a half hour about what we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if people are even interested in doing that.
I think it's
a good idea, especially, you know, with elections, and you know, you get new members, and they don't
definitely going to have new members.
Yeah, so I think it's a good idea.
Well, definitely to let them know. I mean, like I said, I'm pretty sure most of our city council doesn't really understand what the relationship is with this commission. And then,
should have known either.
Yeah, and then to have them let them know what services we provide too. That would be great.
Yeah, I was just envisioning an overview of what the relationship and what the commission does and
benefits. You know, really focus on that.
Yeah, Jackie and I had an offline conversation on this topic. And, you know, in the past, I think it was last year, there's the county annual report, and Oliver had a section on the HPC in there. It was about one page, but it didn't really go that deep into what we're accomplishing as an HPC, so it might be beneficial if we blow our own horn a little bit more, just to kind of make people aware of what we're doing here. So,
yeah, I think having a little PowerPoint or something.
We'll definitely do a PowerPoint.
Okay.
Certainly we can facilitate our. Do we want to try to do Camas and Battleground and Richfield and
Washougal?
You know, especially as these, Richfield just blowing up right now with development and
I think it was, Washougal wanted, she hasn't called me, but she said there was some building that was coming before that's a historic building. She wanted to pick my brain about it, and that just reminds me to call her. But, you know, I was out there with Nick Van last year, so I'm wondering if it's the same buildings, you know, where he was walking. Because we haven't seen anything come from them yet that I know of.
Because I want to, for this Vancouver City Council, I mean, we have the historic overlay district on Main Street. So talk a little bit about what that does and doesn't do. And also there's the historic overlay district on the Academy, and with the proposal to take down the restaurant, it's good for them to be reminded that they can't put something else there.
And that we've been involved with it.
Yeah.
That we were vociferous.
The developer for the Academy site has proposed that they partner with the trust to save the smokestack.
Yay.
So. We'll see where that goes. It also looks like it's going to be really expensive.
Just fill it with concrete.
What's so hard about that?
Okay, so go ahead and obviously seven people can't talk. So what we'll figure out.
And we can split it up
because we're going to do a bunch of different communities.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I think if there were a kind of a standard dog and pony show that had a staff member and a commission member, you know, and kind of spread it out, and the standard presentation could have, you know, there could be a couple places where you swap out a building from that local jurisdiction
or a project.
Yeah,
or,
and we can divide and conquer on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So we're not expected to be at seven different meetings.
Right.
Just me. Don't you love it when we assign you more work?
Yeah. Well, how about so. Should we put together maybe an outline of what this presentation would be and kind of start there? I know some of the city councils, it could be a couple months out to get on their calendars. So if we're trying to do that this year, we should start checking in with them soon. So if you want like us to do that, we will.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. So that'll be on the agenda from now on.
Well, let's put together an outline and see what's available and then just see who's available to do which.
We'll have some dates. We'll see what dates are available for us and kind of go from there and at least get an outline of what we're talking about. So, all right.
Excellent.
I think that is all. Is Jane, do you have anything more?
Just that the city is... because one of the things at the camp training was heritage plans, and so I came back and pitched that idea, which didn't get very far, but what we ended up deciding to do is we're doing a new cultural and art and cultural plan, and so we decided to wrap the heritage component into the art and cultural plan. So we're just actually launching that process. We've hired a consultant to help with it, and I put together an advisory committee, which ironically Andy Gregg is currently the chair of the Clark County Arts Commission, so he's going to be on the advisory committee with his background on the Historic Preservation Commission, and then have the fort represented in the Historic Museum and the Historic Trust, and so hopefully we're going to have a plan by the end of the year.
Okay.
Okay. Did you need one of us to be on there? I know you got Andy there, and he's an expert.
You know, I haven't really thought about the Preservation Commission, but if somebody wants to volunteer, I'm anticipating 3 to 4 meetings of about 2 hours, so.
And if anybody were interested, when what would be the deadline to get back?
I need to know pretty soon, because we just sent out the, hey, welcome to the committee email yesterday, so.
If you could send the schedule to us, if you have any sense of meeting schedule for those 2 hour meetings.
So what we're doing right now is surveying to just find out what time of day people want to meet, and once we get that, then we'll narrow that down, and I can send that to you so that you'll have some idea. But anyway, so essentially time commitments, 3 or 4 2 hour meetings between now and February.
And for anybody who's not aware, Andy Gray was on the HPC for 2 terms. So Sarah and I served with him for a year before his time was up. So he knows our business very well.
That's it.
Thanks, Gina. Any announcements from the commission here? Other commissioners? No? All right. If not, then we'll move on to public comment. And Lisa, you don't have to sit in the corner. Rob didn't show up, so you're welcome to...
I'll stand up, though, but okay. So first off, I just want to say thank you very much for the opportunity. Mark, you may not be aware, but I had applied for one of the positions, and so I really want to just thank each and every one of you. It really would have been appropriate to send all of you notes, but it's kind of complex sometimes, you know, to get that all through, and we have had a lot of meetings between Farm and Historic Preservation, and I'm very active with all of these. And second, I want to say congratulations, Mark.
Thank you.
I never ran for office. I was asked, and so obviously you have more cahoots than I have. My husband said he'd leave me if I ran. So I'm still married. I want to applaud this group, especially, and Sean, I appreciate your comments because I remember last time, and I'm speaking now about the Farm Cemetery project, and I really appreciate your comments from the last time in that cemeteries from that time, and of course I had researched at a national level, and of course the farm is not on, I did, by the way, there's a beautiful plaque on the building now, I think that's brand new, so thank you, I saw it, Annette pointed it out to me, but in looking at the National Historic Standards, if we were looking at the cemetery, and that's not why the farm was put on the register, of course, but the cemetery, of course, is very important to a lot of people, and it's an important topic to myself, just on a personal level. So I really appreciate your looking into that, and I am greatly concerned about the split rail fence, and as you know, I have spoken to you oftentimes. I did want to ask on a quick note, Jackie, when the notice went out for the public hearing for the we had a public meeting and a public hearing on the fences. And, of course, the one in May when I attended, it was believed, on a sense, that it had been resolved among the neighbors and understood that the four corners or rocks or, you know, something that was more of a natural, because as we know, even landscape was off-center. Nothing was straight and structured. It was all off-center. And we believed that that had been resolved. But what I wanted to ask you specifically is the notice when the public hearing notice went out, I believe it indicated on that it was there was a leaning toward, I don't want to put words in it, but it certainly appeared, and I had a very specific email conversation with one of our county counselors, that there was a great leaning toward, you know, they felt it as that was the overwhelming sort of sense of support of demarcating the cemetery. And now, but what I do want to specifically say in regards to that, and I can't say that I feel strongly about one way or another, but I do want a good, strong sense of the historical aspects because it's just, I think it's important. I think we're losing way too much. I have millennial children, and I think that we're going to hit a bump as some of these grow up, that we are going to have to really put things in ways that it's going to be understood for future generations. But that said, in regards to the Farm Commissioner's comments, you know, there's going to be a cyclone fence completely encompassing the farm. And so pretty much that has been the recommendation, and I understand and appreciate the government process. And so the fence will be moved up, you know, west. So it will be completely, that fence is going to be completely around the farm. And there is an opening where only a person could get through. To my knowledge, and as I've shared in previous meetings, we're heavily hammered up. There has never been any sort of altering vehicles or anything. In fact, I know that if we have a new grounds guy at the farm, and we're on a, Joe, we're on a cell phone basis, because occasionally we get somebody coming through and they don't belong and they clear over the fence. And so I understand Joe was able to stop him last time because I saw him and I called him and he was able to stop. So that said, the whole thing of bringing to point of, you know, potentially on the three sides, I guess it would almost be two sides.
I think three. There'll be an opening, I believe, for to get in the mowers, whatever it needs to get.
I understood there would be gated, but, you know, this is part of actually just my own learning through this process is you go to one meeting and you watch for the recommendations and you think and you know and you read the record and we actually have learned some things about how these things kind of progress through. But as I understand, County Council Bolt, he is very concerned with complete closure too. And you will want to confirm that. I certainly have no permission to speak on his behalf, but in speaking with him on that, that everything has to be completely enclosed. And as I know, everyone on this commission knows, there's been a lot of pilfering in historic cemeteries. Even if they don't have to be historical, they could be in progress. They've had lawnmowers stolen and other things, and certainly that has gone on even at the farm. So with my understanding, it's going to be completely, but maybe we can get clarification on that before the next meeting.
The
cyclone fence?
Well, that's probably not going to be something that's going to be heard by them. So going back to where you started, right, I wanted to clarify. So there was the May something meeting. That was a public meeting.
Yes.
The Farm Advisory Board is not a board that has public hearings.
No, I understand.
So I just want to make sure that there's clear.
It was parks.
I wasn't at the July meeting, but from what I heard and read from the notes and how they
repeated. The Farm Advisory?
Yes.
Yes, I was there.
Right, so that they made a decision on that perimeter fence, but not so much on the cemetery fence as they wanted the Historic Preservation Commission to weigh in.
And what was bizarre, just for my public comment, is that I believe that the public notice that went out for this most recent public hearing, which was, we understand, you know, about the cyclone fence. It was very clear it was about the cyclone fence. And so it was rather shocking when it showed up on the farm advisory agenda. But Julie Olson sat next to me at the last farm advisory meeting, and she said, Lisa, there's a lot of things going in between. And you've brought to our attention that all things are not going, you know, it's hard for the public to kind of follow, except for this group. I really believe you folks are very, very open. I want to be clear on that. But some of these things progress, and if you are a member of the public and you're going to all the meetings, you know, I want to be very clear that I've been following along the whole way, and we really thought that that was to an end. But all that said, Julie said that the if this group decides that you want to split rail fence, that it will not be up alongside the cyclone fence. And, of course, most people thought that would be hideous, but it wasn't very clear. And then I just want to end on this, that as I understand, all of the neighbors that will have the new cyclone fence, and I understand it's not going to have barbed wire at the top. They decided that the last farm. So that's an improvement because there is a cyclone fence already. But they're going to put up a new one that doesn't go through the center of the cemetery. And come out. And we are all going to be offered, as per the last farm advisory meeting, good neighbor agreements. And so for our family and the families all up close, you know, it's not about access. Our neighbors are just livid down below because they feel as though they're being taken away from any public access. Not that a cemetery should be, I agree, a cemetery should not be a public access spot, but I just would like for you to check that, because I think that there are other people that don't understand that that split rail fence has kind of come back to life since the process, early process that we had from that first, the public meeting versus the public hearing. And I think there have been three farm advisory meetings, if I'm correct, you know, throughout this whole process.
So as we always do, so as with the public hearing that the Historic Commission will have, it will be noticed in the paper, the property will be posted, and the 300-foot radius of the site,
right,
notices will be sent to each house. So
right,
if people want to testify and comment.
And I'm not going to share any, I'm not going to be the public broadcaster. As I said, I have my piece that we will have access. I really wanted for the greater public to have access. In fact, many of you know, I had even proposed with Bill Bjerke that I would love to see a 6 foot, I think we can go, I think they said up to 12 feet into the cemetery area without disturbance, but you know, it would have been really nice to have a trail all the way around the perimeter of the entire farm. And I'm just dreaming here, and it has nothing to do with any decisions, but I truly believe that people who walk past each other can be friendlier, and just as though, as you have treated me, and I can treat you because we have come to know each other, that it would have been really a dream. And of course, Bill said, do you know how many people would be going by your house? And I said, I would love it, because I do love the interaction and such. It's not going to happen, but I am going to have access at my home. But I still believe that the split rail fence is completely inappropriate. And I think for the small portion of the grant, you know, it's such a small, I know it's monumental because there are hours and hours of county time, but it's such a small portion that given that we are going to start the master planning project in January again per the farm advisory, I believe, the master portion of that farm is going to be revisited and updated. They are not redoing, but they're going to add it because of the amount of people that have moved into the area. And maybe, I'm just going to suggest, that at that time, it may certainly be more appropriate to either add rocks if we need to put big boulders around. But if anybody goes in with an all-terrain vehicle, they're going to have to get inside that cyclone fence or those gates in order to do that. And they will have to be inside of the farm property. And I just want to make certain that that is clearly understood.
Sure. So, if I may, I think Sean really summed up kind of the role of the commission in this very well earlier. So, there will be a public hearing. You know, we've had a couple of opportunities to weigh in on what we feel would be appropriate for this site. That's what we're going to be looking for, and that's really the limitation of the scope of the HPC. So, hopefully, they, you know, as far as the fence surrounding the cemetery area, you know, it will be something that we can sign off on, and all stakeholders will feel that, you know, it's acceptable.
I'm really pleased with the process. I have to just say this, and I'm, you know, my neighbors are, you know, they can't say I've been selfish, and I hope that anybody here would attest if any of my neighbors come to you and think, why is she going to get her own gate? You know, well, so is everybody else up along that. But I just have to say, this process, everybody, you know, Jackie, all your work, always answering telephone calls, I just really applaud all of you. So thank you for listening. I hope that I've made enough sense in talking that maybe you can kind of follow my thought pattern of just what I really hope. Because, Mark, this is a really important piece of work. We're counting on you.
I'll do my best. Thank you, Lisa.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. Okay, we have a couple other members of the public here. Is there any other public comment?
I'm going to reserve my comment till next time. I think that you guys are right on time right now, and I'm not going to make it. I'm just, with Health Neighborhood, and I've been doing lots of really fantastically interesting historic research by combining Sanborn maps with pulp directories. So I've got this matrix that I'm working out, and it's kind of lighting me on fire for the history of the neighborhood. And I just thought I'd let everybody know about that.
Thank you.
The opportunity to roll via email, I had to be here. And besides having to be here, it's in a house that my students are going to be putting an application in for a grant for the Rites of Passage. I am the face of the Rites of Passage program. But we come here for one of our field trips. The general of this house was very important with the historical black colleges and universities.
Absolutely.
And a few other things, worked with Red Shine, Chief Red Shine in the past, Buffalo Soldiers come here. So I just had to let you see my face. But it's interesting how it's beyond the Robert's Rule of the Orders. It's just more of a people kind of thing, situation. And I just took the opportunity to be here.
Glad you came.
Thanks for coming. And you're welcome anytime.
I'll be back.
All right. Rob?
I comment. And this was regarding the Providence, the Academy of Providence. I was reading the minutes from back in June. I didn't realize that some of the buildings had been proposed for demolition. And I just, and I quickly read through the notes from the meeting. And it really disturbed me of tearing down those buildings. And I definitely understand that the restaurant needs to go. They should have gone a long time ago. But in the years that I worked, that was on the commission, it was very frustrating. We found it very frustrating to work with property owners at the time. I would say they were never good stewards of the property. I would say that Providence Academy survived in spite of their management of the properties. I think the previous owners, all they wanted was to make money on that site. And I don't think their heart was in a strip reservation at all. And I think that carries to the early properties in the county. We had offered them numerous tax incentives, putting their buildings on the register, they didn't want regulation, blah, blah, blah. So it was really frustrating for us to work with the previous owners. And now to see, and I wasn't at the meeting to see how bad the condition is of the buildings, but I saw the photographs online, and time has taken its toll on those buildings. However, for all those buildings to be torn down, except for the Academy, the context is really being lost with the property. If the organization, if the current owners can't do more for us to save all the buildings. There's complexes of buildings, historic buildings saved all over the country, and some of them start in a really crappy condition. And this looks like it's the case here, too. And certainly, the smokestack is really an iconic part.
Yeah, a landmark.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But all those other buildings, there aren't many left, and the previous owners torn down buildings over the years, and I find the context is really getting tenuous with land now. Only the Academy survives. So I hope the Commission can see to it that the buildings are adaptively reused. That's good news to hear the smokestack and maybe some activity in that city. But those other buildings are really important, and it's the most significant, outside of Fort Vancouver, the most significant historic site.
If you get a chance, you should listen to the minutes from that meeting, because the notes are very abbreviated. They capture the fine points, but we threw out a lot of ideas to the owners, and they were nodding their heads. They were listening to some of the ideas.
Okay.
So we were strongly encouraging creative reuse of even a wall of those buildings. So we were throwing out a lot of ideas. So.
It was just, it was hard for me to see things, other complexes, the buildings torn down, the Boise Cascade property that everyone went through the demolition permit like it should have, and we find out about halfway through the whole complex was torn down, and those complexes, historic buildings in Clark County are just about down to zero. And so that makes, to me, that makes the Academy even more significant from that period.
From a process standpoint, if they do move forward with demolition, is there a public notice of the demolition, or is it just they came before us for advisory and then it's just a normal demolition permit?
What? I don't know.
Would it trigger SEPA?
Yes.
We'll have to get John. Yeah, I'm sure it was, but with John, and I don't want to speak out of turn, I'll have to research it and double check it, but he was saying that he was something in the heritage overlay may require if the demolition of a National Register site is proposed that it comes before you get a hearing. And that was, so I think I got to do more research on that, but I think that's kind of what's come to light recently. And so that for sure would be at least one step that there, you know, that's in there. And SEPA too.
Yeah, SEPA will be triggered.
You know, I can ask more questions offline. My fault, I missed the June meeting.
It was a great meeting.
It was
a meeting of a lifetime.
We have hard hats on.
The trust has contracted with the developer, is what I understand. And the developer is looking at this from a developer's lens.
Yeah, so there's the other buildings outside of it.
So when they purchased the Academy, building outright and sort of the south and east portion of the property.
Yeah.
And then they financed the L shape, so that up C Street and behind the Academy. So they're paying a pretty significant debt payment.
And that includes the laundry building and the smokestack.
And so they are trying to sell that property so they can clear that they're not developers. They don't want to develop it themselves. So they are looking for a developer, and they have someone that's interested to do housing there. And so that would allow them to not only clear the debt on the property, but also have some money to reinvest in the Academy.
Would that be consistent with the Academy overlay, though? I mean, to have housing?
The overlay district, I don't know who did that overlay district, but it's
very
only the south part of the, it's only protecting the front of the building.
Oh.
So, and I think it got
pretty nice. It had height limits and things for the rest of the property, so it's really vague, what I read on it is.
The minutes, kind of reflected the problem that there's no way that if you looked at it from through a developer's lens, that it could ever be profitable to
save the store.
And they're accurate. I did a review of it a few years back, and 5 or 6 years ago, I was getting $300 or $400 a square foot to restore that building, and then put the new add to that the new development costs from the point of restoration. $500-$600 pretty easily a square foot. And it's not, so it's not going to ever be profitable.
Right. So if it's a private developer that's going to own it.
All bets are off. So it seems like the only option is some other funding source.
We kind of inquired into that quite a bit, and it sounds like they've made every effort to kind of make the economics on the project work, and the laundry building itself just wasn't restorable.
Well, what they presented was a fairly narrow economic analysis. As far as design opportunities, they did not look at a very broad array of approaches, design solutions to the problem. Not a lot. It was adaptive reuse, change of occupancy, rehabilitation, which is one option, and it's always the most expensive option. They didn't look at other options that they had available to them.
we face the same situation with the Boise Cascade Complex. The buyer of the property wanted a clean piece of property that didn't even want to consider adaptive reuse, reuse for some of the industrial purposes. Boise Cascade was the seller. They didn't want to accommodate them. They wanted to sell the property. So let's erase all the buildings. And I guess it surprised me, Jan. I could have sworn that the overlay district included the whole block.
No. I'm pretty sure it just includes the academy building itself, and then the south, to sort of protect that front of the building.
The view shed.
What do you see in the road?
When was that? When was that adopted? That district.
A long time.
It was
ago.
When I was on the commission. This was 7 years ago, maybe.
Oh, longer than that. Mm-hmm.
That's when Steve Burdick was working for the developer. Well, I've been off the commission about maybe 8 or 9 years, so maybe it's been 10 years. But I remember the owner, current owner of the academy, wanted to be able to build 10, 15-story buildings all around the academy to maximize the square footage. And I have this memory of the whole block being included.
You're right, it's the whole block, but the height restrictions are just the view corridor to the south.
So I would think that the overlay district would require the commission to review other buildings on the entire property.
Within that blue?
Yeah.
Demolition.
Yeah.
Might be a good read, just to brush up.
It's only a page.
That's what I'm saying, it's very disappointing. And that we are only a recommendation body, city council has, didn't want us to have the deciding vote.
Paper tiger.
Just to wrap up the conversation, I think it's fair to say that the commission did weigh in very strongly in support of trying to preserve the building as much as possible. And in the event that they cannot be preserved, to do some kind of mitigation in terms of documentation. The smokestack we felt was possibly in condition that it could be saved. The laundry building was worse. Is that a fair summary?
There were beams that were coming down.
Yeah. So, I think that because it's kind of an iconic building, we're going to continue to be very involved in this. And certainly our preference is stated, well documented. It's being corrected in the minutes of this meeting. But like Sarah said, you can listen to the audio of that.
Okay.
All right. If there's no more public comment, then I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yeah. All opposed?
The consensus around the table before you got here was that you wouldn't meet it.
Yeah.
So somebody sits in Sean's seat and thinks, who is this guy?
A very uppity member of the public.
It's nice to meet you.